Hello, I'm John Ellis, and welcome to episode 88 of Pataudry PS, the predominantly Dons-based podcast featuring not just the Dons first team, but a look across the age groups and genders at the club. And we focus on the respective progress of Cove and Peterhead too, as well as the North East local representatives in the Highland League and juniors. And not just football, but any sport making headlines in the North East of Scotland or featuring someone from the North East of Scotland. Joining me for this journey, as always, Andrew Shiney and Dave McDermott. So here we are, recording this episode on the morning of Tuesday, August 23rd, 2023. Looking back on the Viaplay League Cup match against Stirling Albion on Friday evening and forward to a league match against St Mirren away on Sunday, as well as our first European encounter away to BK Häcken in Sweden in the Europa League playoff first leg before the return next Thursday. But first, to Stirling Albion away, where there were probably fewer fluent English speakers than we're likely to meet in Sweden. The game ended in a 2-1 victory for the Dons. Your thoughts, Andrew?
Job done. I think that was the most important thing. It banished some of the memories of Darvel, in as much as a lot of people were looking at that game and saying, oh, this is going to be the banana skin that Aberdeen slip up on once again. I think huge credit has got to go to Darren Young and to Stirling Albion. They were extremely well organised, difficult to break down, a much tougher side to play against than they were when Aberdeen beat them in the same competition 5-0 last year. And it was a decent showing from Aberdeen. Not brilliant, but as I say, job done. Two decent goals. Well worked the first one for Majovski. And another for the showreel from Leighton Clarkson. Didn't hit the underside of the bar once, hit it twice before it went in. Such was the power of the shot. Yes, it was a little nervy towards the end when Greg Spence pulled one back for Stirling Albion. Sloppy defending, you have to say, from Aberdeen. But thereafter, I can't recall Keller Roos having to make a save. So it wasn't quite as tense a finish as some were making out. But the most important thing in League Cup ties is get yourself into the draw for the next round, which is what Aberdeen did. And as Barry Robson pointed out, last time Aberdeen won the League Cup, we drew nothing each after extra time with Alloa, and it took a Mark Reynolds penalty in the shootout to get us through. People tend to forget that. They remember the semi-final against Hearts and things like that. But the important thing is being in the draw. Now they're away to Ross County. You could have picked that one, couldn't you? I mean, there's no way we're going to get a home tie with Celtic having been knocked out. Rangers were always going to get Livingston at home, being on paper probably the weakest team left in the competition. Not that I'm cynical in any way, shape or form. But I have to say, very well done to Kilmarnock and Derek McInnes in particular. He's rediscovered his Midas touch without any question. Beaten Rangers, he's beaten Celtic, all in the first couple of weeks of the season, and he drew 0-0 at Hearts in between times. So Derek has got that side very well organised. I was glad when I saw the draw. Ross County away was much preferable to Kilmarnock away, put it that way.
I have to say, you take conspiracy theories to a professorial level, Andrew. You could lecture on it. We asked on last week's show whether or not Barry would be likely to rest some of the first team for this one, given the fact he'd got such a hectic schedule coming up with the commencement of European football for the Dons. He didn't. Started with the same 11 as he did against Celtic, and as it turned out, probably right to go with the strongest team available, Dave.
Absolutely, and Dave, you know, as Andrew said, I think great credit has to go to Darren Young. You know, they've gone, is it 26 games with one defeat or something like that, say, prior to Friday. So they're a team in form, they're a team full of confidence. And as Rangers, we saw against Morton, you know, these clubs that are in form in Morton aren't exactly one of the standout sides in the Championship, but they made life very, very difficult for Rangers on their own patch. So I think at this stage of the season, you're more likely to get upsets. And Barry was quite right to go with the strongest team. And it did take an absolute belter of a goal from Leighton Clarkson to ease the potential worries, but then of course we lost the goal late on, and it was a wee bit nervy, but as Andrew said, job done, and that was the main thing, to get into the next round. And like Andrew would just reiterate, nobody remembers the early rounds if you get to the latter stages, and it's, you know, Ross County away is not the worst draw we could have had.
Yeah, also, I mean, hit the bar a couple of times, missed a few other good chances. It doesn't bother you, obviously, Andrew. Do you think Barry will be bothered if this game was tighter than it possibly should have been? I wouldn't have thought so.
I wouldn't have thought so either, John. I think, like we've said, all Barry was interested in was getting out of there and into the draw for the next round. And also to come away with no injuries, which was good. Getting minutes into the legs of some more players, also good. The downside was that they did miss chances. They need to be a little bit sharper in front of goal because there are much more difficult games coming up. But it's so early in the season that, you know, it's to be expected. Every side has had their iffy games. You saw Ross County having to go to extra time to beat Airdrie. Rangers, as Dave mentioned, struggling to beat Morton. Celtic bowing out of the competition. Nobody's had an easy ride so far, so I don't think Barry would have been overly bothered, but I'm sure he just had a quiet word in the shell likes of those who missed the chances and said, come on, just got to be a wee bit sharper in front of goal. You're not going to get as many chances, particularly in games that are tight, that you can afford to miss. But it was a professional, solid performance from Aberdeen.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, we're into the next round of the Cup, and if we go on to win it, as you say, nobody will be talking about how we edged out Stirling earlier in the competition. If we don't win, well, it's easier to say diddy than it is via play. But as for this game, job done. Let's look at the next game then, or indeed the next couple, because that's how it is from now until at least Christmas, pretty much, and we'll just do them in chronological order. Last week, it was Vilnius or Haken, Andrew. This week, very definitely Haken. After a 3-1 away win, they made doubly sure by thumping the Lithuanians 5-0 at home to set up a meeting with the Dons in the next round. Scoring goals for fun doesn't sound like it'll be especially easy, especially when we're conceding goals to teams like Stirling Albion. Are you concerned?
Yes and no. Yes, in as much as Haken, halfway through their season, sitting second top of the Swedish top division, they've scored 36 goals in their 12 home games so far, won 11, lost 1. In their 3 home Euro ties, they've scored 11, 3 against the New Saints. They conceded 1 there to Declan McManus, who you may remember used to play for Aberdeen. Conceded 3 to Klaksvik. That ended up putting them out of the competition because, of course, Klaksvik beat them in penalties. But then that 5 against Zalgiris Vilnius, which was a little unexpected, I must admit, because Vilnius had put up good showings against Galatasaray, who you would rank higher than Haken, but fair play to the Swedes. They absolutely battered them. Aided and abetted, it has to be said, by some very poor Lithuanian defending. I watched the highlights of that game, and I think Vilnius were trying to push forward at every opportunity, got caught in the break a few times. So there's goal scorers in that Swedish side, although their main scorer from this season, Benny Traore, was transferred to Sheffield United earlier on in the season. But they've got a very good Ghanaian playing up front on the right-hand side of their three-man attack, Ibrahim Sadiq. He's scored a dozen goals already this season. Seems to like coming in off the right onto his left foot, a bit like Ryan Duncan does for Aberdeen when he plays out on that side of the pitch. He scored a very good goal against Sirius at the weekend. That was a league game which they scraped through 3-2. It took a goal late into stoppage time to an own goal, in fact, for them to win that game. But they've got goal scorers throughout their team. But I don't think we should be overly concerned about our defence. I'm quite sure that when you play up against a step up in class, you're going to be much sharper in your focus on the game. And Barry will have shown everybody all the videos of Haken's recent games to let you see what they do. They've got a Serbian striker, Hristic, up front, who scored 3 goals in a couple of Euro ties, so he's got to be watched. Layuni, the other forward player, it's more experienced than the other two. Not so much of a goal scorer, more of an assist maker. But looking at that Sirius league game, I thought they didn't look altogether solid at the back. They got caught a bit square for the first Sirius goal, caught in the break for the second one. Now, Aberdeen, you would anticipate, are going to sit a little bit deeper than normal and look to hit in the break. So if the Swedes do push too many players forward, I think Aberdeen have got the pace to worry them. But interestingly, the left back who played against Vilnius, Christopher Lund, he was sold to Palermo for Sunday for 2.7 million euros. And they immediately bought a guy in from Standard Liège, Jakob Barrett Larsson, for 500,000 euros. So they've made good profits on that swap of players. I think Aberdeen will go into this one well aware of how good Swedes can be at home, but not scared of them.
Okay. All right. Important to get that away leg first, Dave, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's, you always wanted the second leg to be at home, and you also wanted to, obviously, if the second leg's at home, the tie to be very much alive when you're in front of your own fans. And I think a week on Thursday, Pittodrie will certainly tick the boxes in terms of the atmosphere. So, yeah, you always want the first leg away, but it's important. It's not, to me, it's going to be a far harder game, and I think everyone agrees we're far harder than the last time we played them, when I do think they perhaps underestimated the Dons a wee bit a couple of years ago, but they won't this time round because they've had experience. But I think it was Ross McCrory was in the papers yesterday saying that the Aberdeen squad, he doesn't believe that the Aberdeen squad that played them 2 years ago is as good as the squad that we've got now. And I think he's absolutely right, without being disparaging to anybody that played in that game or was a member of the squad. But yeah, it's important to very much keep that the tie alive in the first leg, but you'd always want your second leg to be at home.
You mentioned they're maybe a little bit more cautious in terms of setup for Barry, Andrew. Back to the wall doesn't really sound like a Barry-esque performance. He'll want his players to at least grow into the game, won't he?
Oh, totally. I mean, there's no way that he's going to go there setting up to get a nothing each, parking the bus and stuff like that. But they're not going to go gung-ho from minute one, I wouldn't anticipate. Unless there's an opportunity that presents itself for players to flood forward, in which case they will be told to do that. But I expect it to be quite a cagey kind of performance from Aberdeen. They don't want to be conceding early doors, I wouldn't have thought. Just looking at the Häcken website this morning, the game's not sold out. So it's not caught the imagination of the Swedish public completely as yet. Aberdeen, I'm sure, will sell all of their 660 tickets, so there'll be good support there for the Dons. But I think we'll see Aberdeen set up in such a way that they can transition quickly, as Barry likes to say. In other words, counter-attack quickly if the Swedes lose the ball. And I think that it's an artificial surface, again, that they're playing on. So it should be decent. As I remember from 2 years ago, it was quite a good surface. So I don't think Aberdeen will have any fears about going there in terms of that. But they don't want to be, you know, backs to the wall and, you know, shipping goals, having wave upon wave of attack bearing down on them. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it will be a little bit tighter than a normal Pittodrie game, shall we say. I would expect it to be more open when they come to Aberdeen. But I fancy Aberdeen to get a positive result, whether it's a draw, narrow defeat, or, let's hope for, a victory.
Yeah, what do you think would be an achievable, good result to take back from this one, Dave?
I think if we're going to lose, it has to be by a single goal. That's very much a situation that we can turn around. But like Andrew, I'm probably, and absolutely nothing to back this up other than my usual blind optimism that, you know, I think we might get something better than a narrow defeat. But you don't want to have to come back from two goals down, because that certainly changes the tactics. Although, as we've seen before, it is still achievable. But ideally, as Andrew said, victory. A draw is a good result. With away goals not coming into the equation anymore, it's not quite having to think all the various permutations that we used to have to. But if we're going to lose, it's got to be a narrow defeat.
Well, let's do a score predictor then. Dave, what do you think the score is going to be in this
1-1.
Andrew.
Yeah, you finished the question.
He's got it stolen. Having talked up his blind optimism, I thought he's bound to go for an Aberdeen win.
It wasn't even out of my mouth, was it?
So I'm duty-bound then to go for an Aberdeen win. I'll go 2-1 to the Dons.
Okay, I actually thought that as well. Then on Sunday, we've got St Mirren away. Now, I don't think Barry's especially keen on making changes for change's sake, but necessity might require it if players pick up knocks. Do you think this early in the campaign, Dave, that's the only reason he'd be minded to make alterations to his preferred lineup?
No, I think now that we're coming into the Thursday-Sunday equation fairly regularly, I think he will start to use players a wee bit more sparingly. But that said, he also wants to bring in, well, the chairman's saying maybe four players between now and the close of the window. There's still, you know, the lad McGarry still getting himself up to match fitness. He'll certainly come into the equation. But I would think, you know, and we've seen even this season, I mean, Hibs, not last week, but the week before, the Thursday, Sunday, they were absolutely out on their feet on the Sunday game, having played on the Thursday. And it is difficult, particularly when you're had a the good thing is that we're not too far away. Sweden's not the worst by any manner of means it could have been, but some of the away trips, when you come back, you've got very little time to prepare for the game on Sunday. And obviously, those that have played the whole 90, or as it seems to be these days, about 100 minutes from an average game, it does take a lot out. And so I think Barry will not make wholesale changes, absolutely not, but he will take into account the fact that we're playing Thursday, Sunday, and then you've got the next game coming up the following Thursday and another game on the Sunday. So it's got to be taken into consideration.
And it was in the Stirling game, there were a couple of switches on the hour, Andrew, with Rubisic and Pulvara being swapped out for Angus McDonald and Conor Barron. Is this the start of Barry being more conservative with the first team legs, or simply trying to get some game time into fringe or returning players?
A bit of both, probably. As Dave said, you know, we're going to have to get used to this very hectic schedule with, you know, recovery time being really, really important. I think on Friday there, Conor Barron hadn't kicked a ball competitively so far this season. He wanted to get him onto the pitch and see what he's going to do. And likewise, Angus McDonald. I think Angus, probably the more important of the two players, to be perfectly honest, because, you know, Ruby had one or two iffy moments first half, but I think he's experienced enough to know when to take chances and when not to take chances. And he'll know that in a big Europa League playoff tie, you do not take chances. If Rose Ed cannot be reached, well, over the stand, Roof will do. But I think it was good to see Angus McDonald back on the field of play once again. He was a very, very important player for Aberdeen last season, and he's got leadership qualities that Aberdeen can certainly do with. It'll be interesting to see if James McGarry plays any part on Thursday night. Because
he's in the named squad.
He's in the named squad that, well, there's 19 been named so far. Interestingly, Ryan Duncan and Conor Barron are not named in that 19-man squad, and it's listed on the UEFA website. But Aberdeen can add to that right up to, I think, 11 o'clock on Wednesday night.
Wednesday, yeah.
So there will be changes. And if you look at the Hecken side, there's about 30 on there. Their squad list, so they must have to pair a few out for match days. I think Dave's absolutely right. We're going to have to utilise all the depth of the squad that we've got. Yes, we want to bring in more, but until such time as they're through the door, they can't take part, obviously. Important getting McDonald back onto the field of play, because I think he's got a big role to play in future games.
St Mirren appear to have started the season where they left off, largely speaking. Definite improvements made. A typical Stephen Robinson side, aggressive and physical and hard to beat. They're going to let you know you're in a game from the first minute, aren't they, Dave?
Absolutely. And I think was it Montrose that beat them in their first Viaplay Cup group game? And we'll be talking about Montrose's result at the weekend shortly. So, you know, they started off with a very poor result. Unlike their fellow Saints, they haven't continued with poor results right, left and centre. And, you know, it will be a very, very difficult game on Sunday. Steve Robinson's got them playing very well organised. He's looked to pick up a couple of gems in terms of the guys he's brought in. And yes, it's going to be very tough. And again, it's on the back of a travelling in Europe on the Thursday, so that will play a part as well. There's no doubt about it.
Is it going to be a straight-up physical battle, or will a bit of, say, Leighton Clarkson finesse or Duke magic be the thing that unlocks a match like this, Andrew?
It'll be a battle, first and foremost, and you've got to win that battle before you can win the war. There'll be lots of one-on-one challenges, a mano sort of thing, and it's who comes out on top of that that will determine the result of this game. Yes, you would like to think that Leighton Clarkson and a skilled player like that would have the final say in where the destination of the points is, but it doesn't always work out that way in Scottish football, does it? I mean, sometimes it's the side that battles hardest against the more talented opponent. Just look at Rangers and Celtic going to Kilmarnock.
Yeah.
You would argue that on paper, Kilmarnock shouldn't have a chance against them, but if you're well organised and you win your individual duels, then anything can happen. So it's going to be hard work for Aberdeen. And as Dave said, you know, coming off the back of an away tie in Europe, it makes it that little bit more difficult. It is good that Gothenburg is only a couple of hours flying time away from Aberdeen, that they can get home at least at some sensible hour on Friday morning rather than arriving home after the postie's been and stuff like that.
I'm taking the ferry just for old time's sake.
Oh, well, good luck to you.
Clear's on standby.
Yeah, you'll be leaving just shortly then. No, it's going to be a tough battle. And St Mirren have got a good record against Aberdeen down in Paisley. They're sitting second top of the league and they're there on merit. So it's going to be a tough ask for Aberdeen.
Okay, St Mirren versus Aberdeen. Andrew first, this time on a score predictor.
I'm going to nick Dave's 1-1.
And Dave?
I'm going to nick Andrew's 2-1 Aberdeen.
Let's move on to the under-18s next. Undefeated in their league and a victory in the SPFL Trust Trophy over Brora lined up a meeting in the same competition against Peterhead. How did that go, Andrew?
Well, it ended up 5-3 to Peterhead. A very good game. Just the one goal in the first half, but then 7 in the second half. Peterhead impressed me. The player that played a lot of good football, and Jordan Brown and Ryan Strachan got their tactics very much bang on the nail, because I thought that the substitutions that they made strengthened their side. They brought on experienced players for younger players, and that just tipped the balance Peterhead's way in the final stages of the game, because Aberdeen were 3-2 up going into the last 10 minutes or so. The Dons goals from Alfie Stewart, Alfie Babbage and Finlay Marshall, Ross McCarthy, Jordan Brown with two, and Kieran Shanks scoring for Peterhead. But I liked what I saw of the Blue Toon. There was certainly no hangover from last season. I'm quite sure that had they been 3-2 down going into the last 10 minutes last year, they certainly wouldn't have won the game. But they scored some very good goals. They've got pace about them. They've got a bit of battle. Couple of battling players in the middle of the park, in particular Andrew McCarthy, who I think is there, Graham Shinney. I think he gets booked for absolutely every game, judging by what the directors behind me were saying. It was a good victory for Peterhead. And so that's the end of the road for Aberdeen in the Challenge Trophy. So it's now back to CAS Under-18 Elite League for Aberdeen. And their next game is on Friday, away to St Mirren at Ralston, which is the St Mirren training ground. And St Mirren improved on last season, but I'd still fancy Aberdeen to come back up the road with 3 points.
Okay, and just before we move on to Aberdeen women, a quick mention for the under-14s or under-16s? I always get this right. It's under-14s.
14s it was.
Yeah, who were abroad playing in a tournament against some top teams, and they won. Tell us more.
They did. I don't know whether they call it the BOAL tournament or the Bowl tournament, because BOAL or Bowl are the sponsors of the tournament. Out in Holland, Aberdeen drew with Chelsea, beat Bayer Leverkusen, beat Bromby, PSV Eindhoven, drew with Sparta, lost to Laranja Mechanica, which is a Brazilian team. Laranja Mechanica, Dave, 1970s film.
Laranja. Pass before my time.
Clockwork Orange.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, was it? Right, okay. Yeah, remember Clockwork Orange, Malcolm McDowell.
Correct. then the Dons need to have a big win to get through into the semi-finals, so they produced that with a 5-1 victory against ADO Den Haag from Holland, 1-0 against Borussia Dortmund in the semi-final, and then the final they played Atlanta United, who had come across from the States, and I think were instrumental in getting Aberdeen invited to the tournament. But Aberdeen beat them in penalties, so a fantastic victory. So very well done to the coaches, Liam McGarry and Scott Duncan, goalkeeping coach Matthew Mackey, physio Mark Muir, and overseeing everything, academy head Gav Levy, who's described it as one of the proudest moments that he's had with the academy. And that says a lot, because they've done exceptionally well down the years in overseas tournaments. But when you hear the quality of opposition that they were up against, you know, good German sides, Chelsea, good Dutch sides, Brøndby from Denmark, you know, that tells its own story. Aberdeen don't get selected just because of connections. They get selected for a lot of these tournaments because of what they've done. They're there on merit, and that's another huge feather in their cap coming back home with the trophy. And I hope that there's a lap of honour either at the Häcken game or the Hibs game the following Sunday, so that a full house at Pittodrie can give these young kids the applause that their efforts merit.
Yeah, I'll tell you something about that in a second. And tell me, did Ronnie Hernandez feature for Atlanta under-14s under?
Not that I'm aware of. No, no, I think he's slightly overage for that. But he played against Messi in the MLS, so... maybe it was a good move for him.
He's made it then. Yeah, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter. When the boys boarded the plane to come back home, have you seen this?
Nope. Was it the captain of the plane came and met them?
No, it wasn't that. Nope. What they did was they put the lighting on the plane, they made it all red, and as the boys walked onto the plane, all the other passengers gave him a round of applause, which I thought was a lovely little touch.
Brilliant.
Aberdeen women have been going well, undefeated in pre-season, coupled with a win in their first match of the campaign, coming out 3-2 victors against Motherwell. But Sunday past was really their first big test, with a gulf between their hosts and themselves. Rangers women expected to win, especially at home, and so it proved. The final score there, 5-1. For Rangers. The important thing, I suppose, Dave, is that they put that in context around their other games. There is a difference in this league, and it's more marked, it's more pronounced than the men's. It's not just about spending power, it's the entire setup and the personnel, both in the teams and around them. The difference between being entirely professional and not.
First half, Aberdeen matched their hosts, 1-1 at half-time. Bailey Hutchison again on the score sheet, and she's certainly looking like she's going to be having an excellent season. So, you know, it just the professionalism, probably the fact that they're all professionals and probably well-paid professionals in the Rangers ranks, it made the difference in the end. And as you say, they ran out 5-1 victors. But there'll be a lot of positives for Clint Lancaster to take from that performance, I'm sure. And that's, you know, they've got that one out the way. There's a lot more manageable and winnable games to come than Rangers away, which we said, you know, feared the worst last week when we were looking ahead to it. But that goal against Rangers away from home will have done the confidence a lot of good as well.
Yeah, and a couple of matches this next week. Montrose at Links Park tomorrow, followed by a home tie at Memorial Stadium against Hearts on Sunday. The Dons will be hoping for better than the result against Rangers, Dave.
Yeah, they'll be looking for, first of all, a win tomorrow night, and then a good result, ideally another victory against Hearts, who will provide fairly stern opposition at Balmoral on Sunday, I'm quite sure. But, you know, do like the way that they've started the season. I think there's a lot of positives you can take, and I still do, as I said last week, I still think they need to add a few more bodies, a bit like the men's team, to the squad.
On to Cove Rangers, who ended up with a draw against Falkirk last time, but the manner of that equaliser so late into additional time had them trudging off the park. This weekend past, they're on the road, but not too far away to Links Park to take on Montrose. That one finished in a comfortable 3-0 victory for Cove. Off and running, Dave.
Yeah, this must be the first PA, Pittodrie PS, where all our teams have actually run out winners the game before.
Spoiler alert, yeah.
Yeah, but it was... And when was the last time Cove had a comfortable away victory? It was two seasons ago when they were back in League One, because in the Championship it just didn't happen. And the fact that they've got this new hybrid model of full-time players and part-time players it's probably paying dividends, and it's a very much new look Cove side. Good to see Mitch Meganson back as well, which was great. He was back as his more usual role as skipper, which is good. But yeah, that will have given him a huge amount of confidence moving forward. And you know, it's just what Paul Hartley needed, and just what the Cove players and the supporters needed as well.
Yeah, a bit of a tonic. Cove's next game back at home when they face Queen of the South. And I imagine they'll be pretty confident about that one too.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Queen of the South are a bit hot and cold so far this season, like so many teams, and it's still early on. And, you know, 2 years ago, Cove at Balmoral in League One, where it was Balmoral very much was a fortress, and that's what Paul will be hoping it returns to. And what better place to start than Sunday against the men from Dumfries?
Read ahead, a win and a draw so far, which they'd have been happy enough with. On Saturday, they travelled south to meet the team relegated with them from League One last season, Clyde, and they were a goal down inside the opening minutes before fighting back to eventually win the tie 2-1. The prospect of Peter Head coming back to win a game from a goal behind last season, Andrew, was completely non-existent. They'll be delighted with this win.
Absolutely, and important. I'm sure that, that having beaten Aberdeen on Wednesday, Aberdeen's B team, albeit, you know, I'm sure that the management duo of Messrs Brown and Strachan were saying, come on, we've got to go down to Clyde and come back up the road with 3 points. And that's exactly what they did. Conor O'Keefe and Kieran Shanks getting the goals for them. I had to laugh seeing a tweet from Peter Head on Saturday afternoon, 84th minute. Sula fouls Shanks and receives a second yellow card. Shanks is also sent off for being fouled. Both teams down to 10 men. So I'm not quite sure what happened that Kieran managed to get himself a red card.
I think it was retaliation after.
Yeah, but it's reported as sent off for being fouled. But Peterhead delighted. Sitting, I think I'm right in saying, 2 points clear at the top of the table. So it's been a very, very good start. And that win against Aberdeen in the Challenge Cup means, sorry, the SPFL Trust Trophy, to give it its official name. It's got them going on two different fronts already this season. The Scottish Cup will come in later on in the season, but I'm quite sure that the management duo are delighted that they've got something as well as league games to look forward to, because they've got a new-look squad. They are the same as Cove have, and that gives them the opportunity to give players minutes in both competitions. So the future looking rosy for the Blue Toon, something that was never said on this show at any point last season.
No. Next weekend, Peterhead back at Balmoral to take on Spartans. How do you see that going, Andrew?
Well, Spartans got their first ever senior win in the league at the weekend. So it won't be easy, but I would think being at home, and from what I've seen of Peterhead, albeit it was just the 90 minutes against Aberdeen B, they've got enough there that they should take care of the new boys from Edinburgh.
In the Highland League, their midweek wins for Brora and Buckie towards the top end of the table. Saturday, the fixtures like this: Brechin City 2, Nairn County 0. Fermanagh United 1, Buckie Thistle 1. Forest Mechanics 2, Keith 1. Fraserburgh 3, Devon Vale 2. Inverurie Locos 2, Huntly 3, Lossiemouth 1, Brora Rangers 1, Rothes 3, Wick Academy 0, Strathspey Thistle 0, Banksadee 6, Turriff United 4, Clackenacudden 1. All that means Buckie are top on 13 points, followed by Banksadee, Huntly, Fermartin, Brechin and Brora, all on 10. In the juniors, Dave.
Yeah, the results from the weekend in the Premier League: Colony Park 3, Fraserburgh United 3, Cootra 8, Nairn St Ninian 0, Dice 3, Stonywood Parkvale 0, Elland United 2, Newmarket United 0, Hermes 4, East End 0, Maud 0, Bridgeton Thistle 1, Rothie Rovers 2, Buckenhaven Hearts 2. Interestingly, Rothie were 2-0 up going into stoppage time, and Hearts scored twice in 91 and 93 minutes to get an unlikely point. Stonehaven 2, Sunnybank 2. And the Championship: Bankers St Tiernan 2, Isle of Ale 0, Banksadee 3, Forest Thistle 2, Devonside 3, Birkhead Thistle 0, Dufftown 6, Glentanner 2, Hull Russell United 8, Cruden Bay 1. Well done to Hull Russell United. It's their first win since they came back to the juniors after taking a year's sabbatical. Longside 0, New Elgin 0, Lossiemouth United 7, White Hills 1. Tonight sees the final round of midweek games this end of the season. In the Premier League, East End at home to Bridgeton Thistle. That's a travel about 300 yards for the Jags to go to that one. Colony Park against Buckenhaven, Cooter versus Rothy. That should be a good win at Crombie Park. Ellen United against Maud. Fraserburgh United go to Hermes. Newmarket United play Sunnybank. And Stonehaven are at home to Stonywood. Parkvale in the Championship. Bankery against Hull Russell United. Burghead Thistle versus Dufftown. Devonside against Cruden Bay. New Elgin go to Forest Thistle. Glen Tanner at home to Banksdee. Isle of Wight take on Lossiemouth United. Alongside go to White Hills. All games kick off at 7.
And finally, in golf. Now, I wasn't going to mention this because there wasn't an immediate Northeast connection, and it's more than a little bit self-indulgent. However, Andrew assures me he can find a Northeast connection off the back of this story. So the automatic picks for the Solheim Cup were announced yesterday, and amongst the first eight was my cousin, Lynn Grant, representing Sweden. Andrew, your Northeast connection following this is...
Well, we hope that one of the four captains' picks might be Gemma Drybrough, who hails from Aberdeen, who has had a very good season in the ladies' PGA out in the States, as well as various tournaments around the world. So fingers crossed that Gemma gets the nod. But huge congratulations to your cousin Lynn, who has risen to, did you say, number 21 in the world rankings?
21, yeah, which is good progress, I have to say.
It's phenomenal progress. But of course, it's just building on that magnificent victory that she had in the mixed event last season when she absolutely blew the field away by 10 strokes.
I think, Henrik Stenson was next, was near the...
I think he was. He was nearest. Was he not the title, the host sponsor for the event? And all the eyes were on him. Your cousin goes and batters everybody. It's a decent looking side that the Europeans have put together. I think it's Finca Cortesan in Spain where it's being played. So very best of luck to whoever is representing Europe in the ladies' version of the Ryder Cup. Unfortunately, I don't think, Robert McIntyre apart, we've got no real Scottish hopes for the Ryder Cup, which is being played in Italy. Hopefully, Bob McIntyre, as he's better known in Scotland, I think, we'll get into that one. But well done to Lynn Grant, and fingers crossed for Gemma Drybrough.
Okay, that is pretty much it for episode 88 of Pittodrie PS for this week. Remember, we publish every Tuesday if we can, always looking back to the Dons' previous fixtures and ahead to the next. Please remember to follow us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you could rate and review us, tell us what you think of the show too, we'd be very grateful. Thanks for checking out Pittodrie PS. We'll see you next time.